Now for today's sermon. I want to comment on today's sermon ahead of time. It will be probably the most unusual sermon I have given in many, many years, I'm sure. Most ministers would probably never give this sermon. They probably never have even thought of it. But I'm going to give it today. If you want a title for this sermon, put it down like this. The title will be Slaying the Dragon. Slaying the Dragon. Now, you know that when the Israelites left Egypt, they were headed to the land of Canaan. And the land of Canaan contained the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hivites, the Hittites, all the ites that were there, okay? And the Israelites came in to displace them. The land was filled with terrible, awful practices, sexual practices, other practices that were not right. The people were not being, the average person was not being prospered and blessed because of the way the things happened. Now, as you know, there's a lot of excavation, a lot of archaeological excavation. So what happens when one city is destroyed and, the one town, they build the next city on top of it. Then it's, it's just there, all rubble and so on. You burn it down, you put this down, and you leave tools, you leave other things, and they got buried, and now you come in and you build something else on top of it. And so one city builds on another. And so what the archaeologists have found is that you can dig down in there, you'll find all kinds of stuff. You find some of their writings on clay tablets or on stone and so on, and you find out what that civilization did. Well, when the Israelites came into the land of Canaan, the Canaanites were already there. The Canaanites had their gods that they worshiped, their myths that they believed in, and attributed all kinds of things to their gods. Now, here was one myth that came up among the Canaanites. And archaeologists have found this in a complete tablet. It's a story. And here's the story. The myth was uncovered in excavation, and it showed one of the gods as a type of family. This god had a family. The name of the god was El. And he was the chief god. Now, Hebrew has the same word. What is the word for God in Hebrew? If you just want to say God, El means God, the strong God, and Elohim means plural gods, or you could use it with a singular thing, the gods, plural. So their chief God was El. Now El had a wife and children. The children were Yamin, Anat, A-N-A-T, and Baal, or Baal, B-A-A-L. You've heard of Baal before, Baal worship. Now, they were up in an area called Zaphon, okay? Zaphon, and the Bible refers to Baal Zaphon, and there are Baals over here and Baals over there, okay? So one day in this story, this is a Canaanite story, okay? Before the Israelites ever came into the land, this Canaanite story, it goes like this. And one day, El decided to retire, and he wanted to turn over the rulership to his younger son, Baal, okay? At the beginning of the, at his younger deity, and he actually turned it over to Yamin. At the beginning of the story, he decided to give the god Yamin, these are all supposed to be gods, supposed to be a god family, and they're supposed to be god. These are Canaanite myths gods, okay? And so he decided to make the god Yamin, whose name means the sea, S-E-A, the sea, the ocean, as king. Well, Yamin is also a dragon, meaning that he, Yamin, will not be a very good king for long. The other gods tremble for fear of Yamin, but Baal is also a god. He's the god of fertility. That's where they had all the sex practices through the practices of Baal. So Baal goes to battle with Yamin. Now, he's supposed to be the same family. You know, supposed to be brothers. They're all children of El. And so they're coming out, and they're going to battle each other. And Yamin is eventually slayed. Baal slays Yamin. And in this Canaanite document, Yamin also has another name. Guess what that name is? You'll find it in your Bible. Leviathan. In that Canaanite document, before the Israelites got there, Yamin, who was was in the sea, he was, you know, in the sea, he has another name. His name is Leviathan. Baal then becomes king. Okay, he slays Yamin, the Leviathan. And as a result, Baal throws a feast to celebrate his victory. He foolishly invites a metaphor called Mot, M-O-T, a god or a power called Mot, and the word Mot meant death. He invites death to the feast. And when he gets to the feast, death ends up killing and consuming Baal. That's the Canaanite story. Now the Israelites come into the land. They know about this story. They you know, the Canaanites never really left Israel. They never really got away, and Israel lived with them side by side for centuries. Okay, they never did. Joshua never did get all the Canaanites out of the land. So Israel was very familiar with Canaanite story. This story, you know, as I said, is older than the Old Testament when the Israelites came there. However, Israel was going to show, and God, through the prophet Isaiah, was going to show something to the people of Israel and to the world. Baal defeats Yamin, which is Leviathan, but he invites death to his celebration, and death kills Baal. Can anything kill the ever-living God, the YHWH, the eternal, the ever-living God? No. So here's what we see in the book of Isaiah, inspired by God. Isaiah wrote, in that day, Isaiah 27, by the way, this is Isaiah 27 in verse 1. In that day, the eternal, the Yahweh, the YHWH, the Yohevah, the four letters in the Hebrew, will punish Leviathan. That's Isaiah 27, verse 1. What is Leviathan? The fleeing serpent. With his fierce and great and mighty sword. So the Eternal is pictured as having his fierce, great, and mighty sword. Even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, that is the, he's not still, he keeps moving, and he will kill the dragon. Now, another name for Leviathan and another name for this twisted serpent is the dragon, okay? God is going to come in because these are all the same thing. He's going to come in. He will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce, great, and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill this dragon. The dragon, that's the Leviathan, who lives in the sea. He lives in the sea. But why is the dragon in the sea? The dragon is in the sea because the sea is turbulent. Now, I want you to know, these are metaphors. These are stories. These are metaphors. What is the dragon? We'll see in a minute. What is the dragon? The New Testament is going to tell us either, too, what the dragon is. Okay? So, I want to go back, and you will see that the dragon and Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, are metaphors for evil. The evil that God is going to punish. Now, let me ask you, is there evil today? Absolutely. Where is the evil? It's all over. It's all over the place. Right now, somebody's being raped. Right now, there are children being molested. Right now, there are people being tortured. Right now, there are people being murdered. Right now, there's people being swindled and stolen from, and there's war and fighting, and there's poverty, and there's disease, and there's intolerable situations. Intolerable. You would think, but yet human beings are trying to live through this. This is a thing of evil. Leviathan. Check. I want to show you, if we go back a few verses, you remember the Bible did not come with a chapter and verse. These were added many years later so that people could preach and you could find out where they were in the Bible. But let's go back in the book of Isaiah, back to chapter 26 and verse 19, leading up to the verse 27 and verse 1. Let me read it now all together. Here, you read it with me if you have a Bible, Isaiah 26, verses 19 through 21, and then we're going to go to chapter 27, verse 1. Your dead will live, God says. Their corpses will rise. People were discouraged. You know, people die, you know. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. That's the Raphaim, the spirits that are left, the part of you that's left, okay, the departed spirits. And then he says in verse 20, come, my people, that's verse 19, come, my people, enter into your rooms, close your doors behind you, hide for a little while until the indignation runs its course. For behold, the eternal is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. So here's the earth that God sees. The people, the slain, the dead, the murders, the rapes, the killings, the stranglings, the other things. And so that's the end of verse, that's the end of chapter 26. Now verse 20, chapter 27, verse 1, in that day, okay, he's coming, God is coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will reveal the bloodshed. In that day, the eternal will punish whom? Who's behind all this? Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Okay. And the word serpent here is nakash, the same word that's used. It's used as serpent. There's a very broad word. We try to make it like into a snake. It's much more broader than that. It's much broader. In that day, the eternal will punish Leviathan, the fleeing nakash. That's the Hebrew word for serpent, this translated serpent there. With his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted Lakash, the twisted one, and he will kill the dragon. Now that's the Tanin, these monsters, like a sea monster, the Tanin who lives in the sea. Now let me ask you, is there a real dragon that lives in the sea? No. We've had ships going up, submarines coursing the oceans and, you know, going around. We've had nuclear subs going all around the ocean. Nobody's ever seen a dragon. Nobody's seen it. There's no dragon. This is a metaphor. This is telling you something about evil. There's evil in the world, and the ocean becomes the world that's there, the turbulence and the upsets and the instabilities. Look at how many countries we've had. The United States happens to be one of the most stable countries in the world, and even it is, you know, careening from time to time, depending on the administration, depending on who's in charge, depending on what policies and things that are done. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 8. So you're going to see here a number of references to this Leviathan. Number. Look at Isaiah 25. The Eternal of Hosts will prepare a lavish banquet Now, what did the Canaanites do? What did Baal do after he killed Yamin, or his name Yamin? After he killed his brother Yamin, who became a dragon, and the love, and another name for Yamin was Leviathan. After he came, he threw a feast, and what did he do? Baal got killed. Listen to what Isaiah says. God is revealing this so that people will know that we worship not a dead God, we worship the ever-living, eternal God. And to hide that meaning is, I think, is a terrible mistake. So we have the ever-living, eternal God, who is our God, okay? So the Eternal of Hosts, Isaiah 25, verse 6, will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on the mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And on this mountain, he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples. Even the veil, which is stretched over all the nations. And notice verse 8, chapter 25 of Isaiah, verse 8, he will swallow up death for all time. Death will be swallowed up for all time. That's God's purpose, swallowing up death. There will be no more death. Nor crying, nor suffering, and so on. So he's going to swallow up the covering. What is the covering? What are we talking about? We're talking about the covering that's over people's minds. They can't hear that. I mean, they can't see. They can't understand God. They can't understand the truth. Why? Because there's a veil that Paul says thrown over from Satan. That the devil has thrown this veil over all these minds, and they can't see, they can't understand God's purpose or God's truth. But notice, in contrast to Baal, what kind of God do we have? He will swallow up the covering. He will swallow up death. What did death do to Baal? It swallowed Baal up. In the Canaanite myth, in that logic, they found this story that the Canaanite God is swallowed up, Baal is swallowed up by death. But here, God swallows death up for all time. And the Lord, that's Adonai, the Eternal, will wipe tears away from all faces. Does that remind you of anything? Does that remind you of Isaiah 21? And he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Eternal has spoken. The ever-living God has said it. In comparison to Baal, who gets killed, this God is ever-living. Nothing can kill this God. Nothing can kill our God. So the Israelites went in and said, yeah, well, that's what your God happens. Your God is dead. Our God is the ever, not just alive, he's ever alive, all time and all places. Let's take a look at Isaiah 51. These are all in Isaiah now. We're going to go to other places. Isaiah 51. Now, Leviathan is the name of the sea monster, the dragon, whatever you want to call the twisting serpent in the sea and so on. But there's another name. God uses another name for this sea monster, this thing. And the name, you'll see it here in Isaiah 51. I'm going to begin in verse 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. You know, people are going, if you're a righteous person, if you're trying to live God's way, you're going to get reviled. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to, you know, just, you know, ridicule you and so on. Don't be afraid. For the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool. but my righteousness will be forever. Just like God is forever, his righteousness is forever, and my salvation to all generations. Now, all of this is in poetry. All of this is Hebrew poetry. You can see it here, right? Listen to me, you who want righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Say, do not fear the reproach of man, nor be, see the Hebrew, do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like a wool. You see, that's Hebrew poetry, the way it's done. My righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Hebrew poetry again. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the eternal. Now they're calling on God to take your arm, put on strength, get it strong. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces? Who pierced the dragon? Another name for the dragon here is Rahab, R-A-H-A-B. You'll see it in Isaiah 51 and verse 9. So he's asking God, was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over? Rahab was the evil of the sea to try to keep the Israelites in the land of Egypt. So God figuratively pierced Rahab, the dragon, the evil, and went through, and they walked through. So the ransom of the eternal will return and come with great joyful shouting to Zion, and the everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and sighing will flee away. There's that promise of the great time of the new heavens and new earth. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, and the son of man who is made like grass? That you have forgotten the eternal, your master, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? To forget God? That you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor? Now God is, this is comforting. Comfort ye my people. He's trying to comfort his people. Did you forget me? Did you forget that I am the all-powerful, all-ever-living God? Did you forget me? Are you upset and you're all fearing that you fear continuously? Listen to the verse 15, that you have forgotten the eternal, the ever-living God, your makers, and that's in plural, your makers, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, that you forget God? So that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy? But where is the fury of the oppressor? Where did it go? Well, God is the one who kills Rahab. God is the one that kills this dragon in the sea. God is the one who brings his people through the sea. Here he's talking about the Sea of the Red Sea. When they came through the Red Sea, that dragon wanted to keep them there. And the dragon is a metaphor for evil of all kinds. Evil of all kinds. Here's Psalm 74. Now we'll go to the book of Psalms. You'll see here these talking about, again, the complexity and all these things of the evil. Here it is. Psalm 74. Beginning in verse 7, they have burned your sanctuary to the ground. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name. Well, that's happened. It happened in 586 BC when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed it. It happened again. That was on the ninth day of Ab. It happened again on the ninth day of Ab in 70 AD when General Titus came down. When the Jews rebelled against Rome and they came down and destroyed the temple, there's no temple today. The temple of God is God's people. Holy Spirit is in you, and that you're the temple of God. But they have burned your sanctuary to the ground. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their heart, these are the evil people, the enemies of God, enemies of evil, of Israel. Let us completely subdue them. They have burned all the meeting places of God in the land. All the meeting places, no place to meet. There's no place to worship God. There's no place to do this. They've burned it all. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet. Miracles. The signs means miracles. We don't see any miracles. There's no longer any prophet. Nor is there any among us who knows how long. How long will this last? How long are we going to be like this? This is Psalm 74. Now beginning in reading verse 10. How long, O God, will the adversary revile and the enemy spurn your name forever? Doesn't mean the pronunciation of your name. It means your name, who you are, what it is, all that you stand for. They spurn you forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand, from within your bosom to destroy them? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand, from within your bosom to destroy them? Yet God is my king from of old, who works deeds of deliverance in the midst of the earth, who divided the sea by your strength, you broke the heads of the sea monsters in the water. It's monsters, plural. The sea monsters in the water. You crashed the heads of Leviathan. Here, Leviathan has had many different heads. Does evil have different heads? Does evil have different forms? Of course. There's deception. There's lying. There's lack of faith. There's murder, there's rape, there's pillage, there's incest, there's this, there's that, all kinds of things that are evil. And evil has many heads, many forms. So does Leviathan. Leviathan the great, the monster. You broke the heads of the sea monster, okay? You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea monsters, in plural, in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. Okay? So you see that's here. All right. So you'll see that it's a metaphor for the evil, and God is going to do away with it. That's for sure. God's going to just destroy it and do away with it. Psalm 89, verses 9 through 11. You rule the swelling of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. People are fearful of the sea. You get out in the sea waters and the ocean now gets turbulent because of the wind and the things that are going. And of course, one of the most fearsome things is to have an earthquake under the sea, and the earthquake that comes up, and that leads for a tsunami and a tidal wave that hits the land and destroys, you know. But here's what the psalm now, in praise of God, you rule the swelling of the sea when its waves rise. You still them. You yourself crushed Rahab like one who is slain. Rahab, remember? Rahab is the dragon in the sea. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. He crushes evil. He crushes the Leviathan. He crushes all this metaphor. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. Here's our God. Compared to the Canaanite gods, the Ugaritic gods, the other gods of these nations that are no gods at all, here's our God, who's eventually going to crush all evil in the world. That's the goal. Isn't it the goal? Isn't that where we start? We'll talk about that more as we go on. Now let's take a look at Psalm 29, verses 1 through 5. This is a Psalm of David. And it's to ascribe to the eternal, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the eternal glory. We ascribe, we say, God, you are glorious and you are most powerful. You are awesome in power. Ascribe to the eternal the glory due to his name. What is the glory due to his name? He's the God of all power. He's the God of all healing. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of protection. He's the God of providing. He's the God, he's the Yahweh, whatever he is. Whatever one of these things, it's ascribed to him, okay? The glory due his name. Worship the eternal in holy array. You come before him and, you know, you stand and all these, the people singing, the choir sings in holy array. The voice of the eternal is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The eternal is over many waters. The voice of the eternal is powerful. The voice of the eternal is majestic. The voice of the YHVH breaks the cedars. Yes, the eternal breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. I'm just showing you the power of this God. He's over the waters. You know, remember that? What does that mean? The waters don't get away from God. The fleeing serpent doesn't get away from God. The dragon doesn't get away from God. God is over everything. He's so powerful. And we're supposed to ascribe this to his name. Psalm 65, verses 6 and 7. Listen here. Leaning to God, this is verse 65, verse 6, who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might. He stills the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. You see the tumult? You see what the earth is supposed to be, what a metaphor for the tumult, the up and down of the nations and the evils that just circulate and go all over the earth. And God is the only one who can still it. God is the only one who can bring peace. God is the only one who can still the waves and all the troubles. Psalm 93, and I'll finish probably with this one. Psalm 93, verses 1 through 5. The eternal reigns. Yes, Yahweh reigns. YHVH. Malach, he's the king. It means reigns, he's the king. He is clothed with majesty. The ever-living, the eternal, the YHWH, has clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Is the world going to come to an end? Is it all going to come to an end? Well, he says it's not going to be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O eternal. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. Now here comes all this water. It's coming up, okay? It's challenging God. And from this sea, the implied the dragons, more than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the eternal on high is mighty. God is greater than all of these. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O eternal, forevermore. So you can have the floods coming up. You can have evil starting up. You can have bad countries. You can have bad governments. You can have evil people. You can have people wanting to invade. You can have people coming with swords. You can have people wanting to rape and plunder and kill and destroy. no matter what they are, your throne is established from old, from everlasting. And even though the floods lift up, they're lifting up more than the sound of many waters. The eternal is on high, is mighty. His testimonies are fully confirmed. We know what God can do. We know what God has. We know what God is. We know what God will do in the future. Holiness befits your house, O eternal, forevermore. God is holy. What does he want his people to be? What does he want you and me to be? He wants us to be holy. He wants us to live holy. He wants us to believe in his holiness. He wants us to attribute all these things to him. Okay? We'll talk more about the dragon, the metaphors of the Bible, and who it is. Where did it start? And the battle of slaying the dragon, where does it end? Join me next week for continuation of slaying the dragon. Now, would you join me in prayer today as we close our service and thank this almighty, all-powerful, and glorious God who has transferred all power in heaven and earth to his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for the stability, the truth, the unveiling over the nations. One day you will take the cover over all nations. You will take it away. People will then be able to see and understand truths that they never saw before. They will be able to understand and come before you and bow down before the greatness and your glory and all that you are. We thank you for everything you do. We thank you for your all-powerful wisdom and strength, your mightiness, that we don't have to fear, because if we believe in you, if we commit ourselves to you, you will be on our side and we will jump on your side against the evils of this world. And we know we're going to win because we're on the side of the almighty, ever-living God. Those who are on the side of false gods have lost. Their God was swallowed up. Our God continues, and he slays the dragon. We thank you for your people. We ask that you will hear their prayers, Father. They need your tenderness and your kindness. We need Jesus Christ to give them his favors from the throne of grace, that he might pour out their help in time of need for each and every one. We thank you for the love that you've given us for each other in the church, our concern for the welfare of each other as we pray for each other. We thank you for that. And we ask this now through Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit that is in us all, as we attribute every wonderful thing to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.